And welcome everybody to another episode of Rallycast. My name is Trevor, and with me here today at Rallycast HQ is Carl Drummond. How are you, Carl?
I'm calm, well, mate. Yourself?
Very good. So tell me, Carl, what have you been up to? As we've had a few emails about when the podcast or the next podcast, which we're doing now, was coming. I'm sure you agree we can reassure our listeners that we're back.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, it has been a few weeks there, a bit of a gap. A few family bits and pieces that we needed to take care of, and the workshop was rather full there with rally cars in the lead up to a couple of events, and we've been flat out trying to get those ready for various events and turn them around.
Yes, it's certainly been busy, that's for sure. Well, let's get into it. So, Carl, tell our listeners, where have you been, which is going to be the topic for this episode?
We went to coal mining town of Collie, which is in the state's southwest, for the 2013 Experts Cup Rally, which was round three of the State Rally Championship and Clubman Series.
Excellent. Was it cold?
Yes. Actually, yes, it was. We went down on Friday night because pace noting was early Saturday morning, and it was cold Friday night. However, Saturday, the cloud cover came over, and unusually for Collie, it was quite warm, which was a good thing because it's normally bloody freezing down there.
Yeah, that's right. From the last podcast, yes, we're definitely talking about how cold it was going to be. Tell me a little bit about the rally location then, Collie.
It was around the Wellington Dam, an irrigation dam up in the hills there and the forests around there, plantations around that area there. Unfortunately, mate, I know in the last podcast we talked about visiting the Swinging Bridge. I didn't quite make it there. We did talk about it on the weekend. Yeah, sorry, let everybody down.
No, you didn't
down.
Get there. Well, you probably let our listeners down. I mean, look, I know where the next rally is anyway, and you might have to redeem yourself, okay, for our listeners and, of course, for my pleasure as well. But we'll talk about that a little later anyway. Now, from what I recall, this event involves some pace notes, not for everybody though. Give us, of course, a bit of a rundown on the format and I guess what the circle's like out there and the stages in and around Collie.
Yeah, okay. For the state championship competitors, it's a pace note in the morning, so the Saturday morning until around midday, and then race in the afternoon, started about 1:30 and run into the dark. For the Clubman competitors, and that's the way the Clubman series is set up, they run non-pace noted, so they run off what's called a roadbook, which is provided by the organisers. Now, the Experts Cup, Trev, you and I have contested this rally before. It is a very technical rally. The stages have evolved over the years. They're very narrow roads in a lot of places. Not a lot of fast open sections there, and there's a lot of crests and brows in the road that are very hard to see over or around. So when you do your pace notes, obviously you write what's going on there, but you really have to rely on the pace notes very heavily in the rally and commit to those notes to be very fast on this event.
So how many stages then, and what was the weather like down there?
Okay. This year, and this is a repeat of last year's format, they used 9 special stages. They were a group of 3 stages that were run 3 times. It was very dry on the day. There was during the week they had forecast rain, and we're sort of crossing fingers and toes that it wasn't going to rain because the surface down this clay becomes very slippery and muddy when it's raining. As it turned out, there was a slight bit of drizzle sort of late in the afternoon on Saturday, but the weather was pretty good. It was cool. Like I said earlier, it sort of warmed up a bit and the cloud came over in the evening.
So what was the competitive component of the rally then?
Now, it was originally when the rally was announced, it was going to be 160 kilometres of competitive stages, which is quite a lot. However, there's logging activities in the area, which are quite common around there. There was a last-minute reduction. The organisers have a fair bit of logistics to work through this year, which happens because of the logging, and the end was 120 kilometres for the state competitors.
Righto, so how many cars then?
This is interesting, mate. In the state entries, there was 23 cars.
Well, that's not bad for the state entries. So how about the Clubman?
The Clubman field was great. It was even better than Donnelly Rally. There was 22 Clubman cars, which is big field for Clubman and growing. There was one invitational entry in there as well. Nick Box in his 370Z. That's actually an ARC spec car and doesn't comply with the state requirements. But he came out and brought the car out for a run, some testing. And the Polaris off-road buggy that we talked about earlier on.
Yeah.
So there was a total of 47 vehicles, including state Clubman, for the whole event. So it was a big field, nearly 50 cars. In the clubby side of things, we haven't seen, you know, that many 22 entries for a very long time. So it just shows that they have got the formula right for Clubman now, and it is encouraging people to come into the series, which is great to see.
Yeah, that's an excellent field. Well, let's move into the rally then. So how did the first group of stages go there? Were there any retirements?
The way the format worked was they started with the longest stage first, which was 19 kilometres. Then the second stage was at 16 kilometres. And then the last stage was shorter at 9 kilometres. That was repeated three times. So it meant that you finished the rally after the shortest stage, or went into service after the shortest stage. It was good. So first up in there, in special stage one, Sean Keating and Caleb Ash, with their flying Nissan Silvia, who were leading the state two-wheel drive championship, had gearbox trouble in SS1 and unfortunately had to retire the gearbox they had jammed into gear. It's a bit of a shame. Also in SS1 early on in the piece, Mick Steele, co-driven by Tracy Dewhurst. Now, Mick hasn't been on gravel in a rally for quite some years, and he had got himself an ex-Possum Bore Motorsport Australian Rally Championship winning Spec C WRX. It's got quite a good history, that. Yes. And on one particularly tricky corner, sort of an uphill into a right-hander, they had a light roll, putting the car off the road there.
Oh, bugger. That's
not good. Yeah. It wasn't. Luckily, the car wasn't too heavily damaged, but it did put them out of the event. And look, we had trouble on that same corner as well. We almost went off the road at the same spot. It is a very tricky corner, and over the years, quite a few people have gone off there. So it was a bit unlucky for Mick. Sort of rounding out the retirements in the first three stages, Shane Atwell, who's new to rallying, and Mike Joss, name that
they're in the XY Falcon, is that right?
Yes, correct. XY Falcon GT replica. Yeah, awesome looking car, and really looking forward to good things for them. And Mike, as you may remember, Trev, used to compete with us in the Clubman years ago, won the Clubman Cup some years ago. So he was having his first taste on gravel. He's been away for a long time doing tarmac sort of stuff. In the third stage, they had clutch trouble and had to retire the big Falcon. So hopefully they'll get that all sorted out and be ready to go for the next rally.
Gotcha. So as I read it here then, from there the teams moved into their first service of 20 minutes after that.
Yep.
So were the teams running on lights then by the second group stages?
Yeah, midfield competitors were all running on lights. It was getting quite late in the afternoon then. We had to put lights on in the first service as well.
Yep. And some of the results there, which we'll get to, that looks like there was a lot of four-wheel drive vehicles. But how about two-wheel drive championship in the state? How is that going at that stage?
Around the sort of second group of stages, with Keating and Ash retiring on the first stage, it left Kyle Douglas, this time co-driven by Ross Burton, in his V8
Commodore.
Yes, V8 Commodore, yes. Thundering machine it is. It's got an awesome note, that thing, going through the forest. He really likes chucking that around. Kyle and Ross were battling it out with Raz Vlad and Damon Nicoli in their Ford Fiesta ST. So I suppose you could say it was a Ford versus Holden battle.
Yeah, on the gravel.
exactly right. Yeah, Raz and Damon had half the cylinders of Kyle and Ross there. As it turned out, though, for Kyle, it was not to be, really. Ended up driving the whole rally without power steering. It threw the power steering belt in the first stage, and after that, you can imagine it was quite a handful on the dirt.
That makes it a bit hard, yeah.
It certainly does. Yeah, they soldiered on. Kyle was sort of saying he only probably had about half a turn of usable lock either way on his steering. Couldn't bring the wheel back quick enough without the power steering. Yeah, and speaking of two-wheel drive, Nick Box and Todd Payne, I mentioned earlier, they came out for a run in their ARC Spec 370Z. They had great, it's a brand new car, new to rally this year. It's a beast of a thing, actually. It's awesome if you ever hear it. They had some brake troubles in stage six and had to retire as well. So I think they were the only ones in the second group of stages that retired.
Okay, so as I read it here then, at this point, the Club and Cup competitors finished a rally as state teams came in their sixth service. What were the placings for the Club and competitors then?
Yep. For our listeners, we're going to continue to do this now because the club and field is growing so much. We'll definitely be including those in our podcast. And that's where you and I started, mate. It was great fun in those days. So.
Absolutely. And it's good to see some of the old guys getting out as well.
Yes, some of the old names that we used to race with are still running the club. This time around, third place in the club and went to Carl and Tracy Rattenbury, husband and wife there, in their Mark 1 Escort Trev.
Yeah.
Yep, flying the Escort flag, mate. As I know, a lot of people are... love those cars. Second place went to Jason Lowther and Matthew Teep in their front-wheel drive Toyota Corolla. And first place, another Toyota, Trevor Chudley, this time co-driven by Blake Pierce, in their Toyota Sprinter, won the clubman side of the event. So very well done to those guys, and it was great to see such a huge clubman field running in the rally.
Right, so... from there, in the last group of stages, because they're all running in the dark, obviously, was there any problems there?
Experts is usually a rally of fair attrition, and this time around there wasn't too many, actually. Most of the field actually stayed in the event. Stephen Oxley, co-driven by Richard Harris on this event, they've got a current shape WRX hatchback. They did a fair bit of heavy damage, actually, to their car. They actually hit a tree pretty hard on the right-hand side, sort of mid-car, doors and sills and roof and whatever. They did go on to finish the rally, and they finished in 11th, but I think there's a fair bit of repair work's got to be done on that car now to get that ready for any more rallies this year.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And then also Brett Tolomei and Owen Wilson retired. They've got an Impreza RS, so a non-turbo four-wheel drive Impreza. Special stage 7, they had some sort of problem. We're not sure what that was, but that retired them out of the rally as well.
Well, I have to ask, how did the rows hold up then with the three passes? Because that's a big field.
You're nearly 50-odd cars running over the stages, you know, nearly two and three times there. Well, actually, all things considered, the because the rain held out, the roads actually got faster as the rally progressed. Well swept, the surface, the clay there compacted really well. There's only a few soft corners, which can happen sometimes on some stages without even one pass. So we were very lucky it didn't rain, otherwise it would have been a real slush bath out there.
That's right, absolutely.
We've been in that situation before, mate, haven't we? So we know,
yeah, normally I'm quite surprised, actually. It was quite sunny down there. All right then, well, let's look at the placings. So the fastest in the two-wheel drive championship, Carl.
Yep, with the problems that Douglas and Burton had with the power steering in their Commodore, that allowed Raz Vlad and Damon Nicoli in their Ford Fiesta ST into the two-wheel drive championship lead, which they held for the whole event, and they finished 12th outright. Just shows the speed of this rally, so fast that two-wheel drive car unusually didn't make it into the top 10.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it is very fast. Well, let's move to the top 10 then, Carl. And in 10th place was Legacy.
Yep, Subaru Legacy RS of brothers Craig and Scott Pusey. They drove well for a 10th place finish.
Very good. Now, what I'm looking at here is very interesting. The next spot, which is 9th, I'm surprised to see this gentleman here. As in previous rallies, he's usually a little further down the field.
Yes, yeah, Dylan King and Lee Tierney in their WRX were leading the state championship by a handful of points going into this rally. They were very confident of a good result. Unfortunately, in the early stages, a broken rear diff and I think a broken rear drive shaft cost them a lot of time. And they fixed that in the first service and then started charging, but unfortunately they couldn't recover all the time there and they finished 9th. They did get some points in the state championship, but it has dropped them out of the lead of the state championship now.
So, in 8th position?
Yeah, Rob Webber and Greg McPherson, Evo 7, new engine and new, I think, sequential transmission in their car as well. They finished this rally, had a good run. They've had a couple of retirements this year so far, and they got to the end in 8th.
Excellent, excellent. So moving on to 7th and 6th position then, taken out by Subarus.
Yes, indeed. John O'Dowd and Ben Searcy are always very tidy drivers, these guys. We do speak a lot about them during the series. In their Spec C WRX, done very well and come home with some great points in 7th. And in 6th position, Doug Tostevin, this time co-driven by Sharon Black, in their Spec C WRX, a new car for Doug. Now, they would have been around 3rd place. They were up as high as that in terms of stage times. However, there was an error with booking into a control too early by a couple of minutes, so they ended up getting a 2-minute penalty. That dropped them back to 6th. So they did manage to salvage, though. They did win the Group N trophy for the rally, which was great for them, and they did take an Experts Cup, and we'll talk about the Experts Cups.
Yeah, that's right. Excellent. Righto, so on to the top 5 then, and in 5th spot I have here is Gavin Morgan and Chris Parrish, is that right?
Yes, it is. Now, Gavin and Chris don't have the best finishing record. I think something like 7 out of 10 rallies that they enter, they end up with some sort of mechanical failure or off the road. So they drew car 1 on this event, which is quite difficult to be car 1 because you end up sweeping the loose gravel on the stages, especially for the first 3 stages. So they took a fairly cautious approach to it all. Mm-hmm. And they got through that and then put in some decent stage times and finished a rally in the top 5. So very well done to them to finish the rally, and great. The car came home unscathed and they were stoked to be in that position.
Excellent. That's good. In 4th spot?
Yeah, Lee McElroy, this time co-driven by Hannah Drury. Hannah normally co-drives for Alex Stone. Alex Stone is out at the moment after they had a nudge with the concrete barriers at Forest Rally earlier in the year. So Lee and Hannah are well driven to fourth place. It was a very good finish for them, and no doubt Lee would be very happy with those results.
Excellent. Well, let's move on to the podium placings then, Carl. Third and second place.
Yeah, now this is interesting, isn't it? A name that hasn't been in state rallying for a very long time, Dean Herridge, co-driven by James Marquette. Now, they were running in a 2012 STI sedan. Now, this car belongs to Brad Markovic, who returned to the championship on the last rally on Donnelly, had a few troubles there. Fortunately, Brad, I think, hurt his back and at the last minute wasn't able to get in the car. So asked Dean and the organisers if Dean could drive his car. So basically it was Brad's car, Brad's navigator. But Dean jumped in at the last minute and eased himself into driving the car, made some setup changes to get the car right, and then really pushed ahead and, took third place. So not bad considering it's been several years since Dean's been on the gravel, and probably well longer than that that he's been in a state championship event. So well done. Good drive to them. The car came home unscathed and unmarked. So I'm sure Brad will be very happy with that as well.
Excellent result. So second place was taken by another, sorry, WRX.
Yes, I know. It's almost like a one-make series, isn't it? You know, it was. I suppose, look, a few years ago, the Mitsubishis were really up there, the Evo, so it's Subarus are having their time in the sun. These two brothers, Steve and Mark, they share the driving from rally to rally, and this particular rally, it was Steve's turn to drive. So a very well-driven event for them. Second place outright in a very basic spec WRX, classic shape. Rex, just shows the speed that these guys can drive at with the machinery they have. Just very well done to them.
Excellent result. So the winner of the event then?
Yeah, in this case, again, two in a row now. Lee Hines and Stuart Percival took the win in their WRX, classic shape again, with the troubles of King and Tierney finishing back in ninth. Now Hines and Percival are now leading the state rally championship, so they'll be very happy with that result and looking forward to a great battle to continue their championship endeavours this year, I think. Talked about the Experts Cup, and we're quite often asked, why is it called the Experts Cup rally? Mm. What happens is with the with this particular rally, Experts Cups, so an actual trophy, is given to any team that can get all of their stage times in the top six for the rally. And that's no mean feat because, you know, Trevor, as you know, quite often you can set one, you know, that might be third or, you know, fourth fastest or even fastest, and then your next one might be 10th fastest, you know, and by the end of the rally, you end up wherever you do. So to stay within the top six on all nine stages is difficult, particularly with the narrow roads and the dark. And this year, four of the teams managed to get a Experts Cup as well. So very well done to those guys who got the Experts Cups.
Okay, so I think that's a wrap, mate.
Yes, mate. Yes, it is. I think so.
Righto. Well, before we go, what's next on the rally calendar?
The next rally on the calendar is the Luana Stages rally, which is down to Bailinger. We'll actually be running in the Grimwade plantation down there, another through the forest of tall timber tree plantations. And that's going to be running at the end of July.
Excellent, excellent. And what are we going to do since you're lucked out in the swinging fridge anyway?
Well, you tell me, mate. What's the physical challenge for this rally, mate?
Well, it's more for our listeners, especially overseas, and of course my enjoyment really. But look, as you know, Carl, Ballingup was one of the first Aussie host towns, which means the town has a real focus on promoting the region's attractions and events such as the Luana Stages. So how about we get a photo of you in front of the Bailingup Scarecrow?
The Bailingup.
You know what the Bailingup Scarecrow is?
No, I don't. I'll have to do some research here, mate, and find out going on there.
I'll give you a few hints. Look, every festival that happens down there in Bailingup, the Scarecrow gets outfitted differently depending on what the theme is, I guess. So I guess that's a challenge for you, Carl, and we certainly don't want to let our listeners down.
All right. Well, look, the jury's out yet whether we'll compete at the Luana Stages rally. The team will certainly be there and we'll be definitely running cars. I don't know yet whether we'll take the Rex out and do it, so I might have a little bit more time to be able to go and search out this Bailingup Scarecrow. All right, mate, I'll write it on my list of things to do, and I will make every endeavour to get it done and compile a report for our next Rallycast rally review, I guess.
On that note, thanks again, Carl, for your time. And of course, our listeners, we both look forward to the next episode. We'll say that's a wrap, and thank you very much for tuning in. And from me, Trevor, it's bye for now.
Me too. Thank you. Please note that the opinions, ideas and views expressed by the hosts are their own and do not necessarily reflect the opinions, ideas or views of the competitors, organisers or the governing body of the motorsport.